Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the Misericordia University Alumni Podcast. I am your host, Class of 2017 and 2019 alumnus, Mike Gambita. Today on the show, we are featuring a postcard profile. Ladies and gentlemen, and alumni of Misericordia, please welcome 2016 alumnus, Dylan Del Rosso, also known as Delro. Delro, thank you so much for joining us today.
What's going on, Mike? Happy to be here.
I'm so happy to see you once again. I feel like we always have our reunion at homecoming, and it's nice to finally get you on the audio waveforms of a podcast. So, Delro, let's just jump right into it. What have you been up to since you've graduated from Misericordia?
Oh, man, Mike. Well, first of all, thanks for thinking of me and having me on the show. I'm very happy to put my MU polo on today and rock it. No, what a loaded question. I've been up to a lot, and it's all been fun stuff. I can try and give you some of the highlights along the way. So I'll tell you this, Mike. I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, and I guess it's over 5 years ago now or something like that. But I remember I was, of course, on the baseball team, and my senior year, we had made it to regionals again, and we were playing up at PNC Field in Moosic, home of the Rail Riders. My baseball career had ended, and I was crying like a little baby, and I was walking back to the van, and my phone rang, and it was Howard Ticker, who ended up being my future boss at the University of Maryland, where I took my first job right out of college. So I had to wipe the tears away and start having a conversation of, I need to go find an apartment outside of D.C. Quick turnaround there. I was really fortunate. So I got hired by the University of Maryland in a company called the Aspire Group, which is just an incredible company. They're a third-party ticket sales and marketing company out of Atlanta, and they partner up with different Division I schools and events and even some pro teams, and they do ticket sales for them. So I got into ticket sales. What else was I going to do? I just wanted to talk sports all day, right, Mike? Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar?
A little bit.
I went and sold tickets for the University of Maryland's athletic department. So basketball and football were the main revenue generators, of course. But we sold full menu, lacrosse, baseball, soccer, you name it. So I absolutely loved it. I did that for almost 3 years, actually. Got promoted a couple of times, had a good amount of success there. I loved it. And, you know, you might know, and others would know, you kind of get to a place where it's just like, I'm ready for the next chapter. What's next? And I actually took the leap over to pro sports, wanted to see what I was made of, right? It was kind of big fish, small pond. Always had that chip on my shoulder coming from MU. And then, you know, in the world of sports, Mike, when you're, as far as sales go, I have to say, and maybe others would disagree, selling at the collegiate level, you don't get the respect on your name, right? Like, it's, what are you made of? So I went and I actually joined the New York Jets back in April of 19. I had some friends over there, and I was hired as a manager of premium partnerships. So this was me selling B2B, business to business, which I had not done prior. That was quite a learning curve. I just remember being in the city in my suit, feeling all cool. And I joke about it on my podcast, and I say, you know, I remember just being in my suit from Kohl's that my mom got me. And I just feel like this big shot in the city. So I was selling their luxury suites, and that was an awesome dream job. I grew up a Jets fan. So I jokingly say, but serious, Mike, and you've seen me at the homecomings, you get to see me once a year. I gained a quick 40 pounds because my job with the Jets was to, you know, eat and drink with my clients and have a good time. Not to mention the Jets were feeding me breakfast and lunch, the Ooh. Same thing that they were feeding their linemen every day.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You can imagine. But I absolutely loved it with the Jets, was getting ready for year two. But of course, COVID hit. No more suites to sell, especially in New York with it being the epicenter it was for so long. I knew they were going to be the last movers to fans. And so, I was really fortunate. The Jets were one of a handful of teams who didn't fire anybody through all the madness. So I had a job, but I had nothing to sell. So the fire started going out. You start thinking, what's next, right? Of course. So naturally, you know, overnight, nothing to sell. Believe it or not, Mike, I like to say it's the best thing that's ever happened to me as a professional, because I was of immediate value to everybody I spoke to. Guess why? You know, I didn't have anything to sell them. right? I just wanted to help. Hey, tell me about you, your business, little Tommy's baseball game, and let's make some introductions. You know, people are almost like, what's the catch? I'm like, there is none. I just have nothing else to sell. So this crazy networking journey I went on with this give first mentality, without really asking for anything in return, it got me everything I ever wanted. I started making friends for a living, and it all started to fall into place. So back in October, I started a new career in advertising and PR. I got with a full service agency here in New Jersey, Success Communications Group. So I'm a VP of sales for them. And obviously, I don't think I'll ever not be doing anything sales, but you know, it's been great. I'm learning this industry from home. It's crazy. It's there's so much going on, but I'm a networker, right? I'm a connector of people. And so my agency, who can service really any industry, recognize that and sell value there. So I just make introductions all day long. So that's what I'm doing. I started a podcast on the side, very similar to you, Mike, which has been so much more fun than I thought it would be. I'm only 4 episodes in. I know you're about 50, but it's been really fun. And then I'm actually a partner at a startup in the financial tech space, dealing with the automation of the stock trading process for the retail investor, everyday people like me and you. Essentially just a massive gap in the market where we want to give, you know, non-investors some skin in the game and teach them the technical side of trading. So we have coded, I shouldn't say my partners have coded. I'm not the tech guy, as you know. My partners have coded bots to buy and sell for you, which is not new. This is not new. In fact, most of the stock market is traded like this. It's just not really accessible to everyday people. So we're trying to do that. So I don't want to go on that tangent. I've already been talking long enough, but people are used to that.
No, I think it's awesome. And to kind of to backtrack and kind of maneuver your way through some of your experience, obviously with the ticket sales, you know, you go from Misericordia Baseball, which it's a D3 sport that you get, you don't have, I mean, in most cases, if you get caught with, you know, the table and saying, well, you have to purchase a ticket before you walk in, and then the programs are in a mailbox. And then you jump to this very well recognized, I should say, college and university that is trying to get sales. And then you take even a bigger step that goes to the New York Jets, and you have this constant exponential growth of just experience that you have going on, which is awesome. But really, when I want to talk to you more, kind of bring it down to some of our alum, you said you're a networker.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what the heck is some of the best tips you've received for networking?
Man, great question. And I kind of like how you depicted that. It does now seem pretty naturally occurring. So thanks for that. But, you know, you asked me that question. First of all, the word networking, I've noticed, even since I put it in the name of the title of my podcast, the word networking doesn't, it has a more negative connotation around it than it does positive recently, because I think networking, people think of, you know, what are you going to get sold today? Who's going to try and sell me? What LinkedIn message am I going to get? You know, I'm more of a connector of people, right? That's what people want to hear. I connect good people to good businesses. And the best tip I've ever received, you know, that's tough, but I can tell you really what it comes down to, Mike, is a genuine interest in who you're talking to and a genuine interest in wanting to help them without really asking for anything in return. Mike, you know, you're a very personable guy. You know everybody. Everybody knows you. Why do you think that is? It's because you're a genuinely good person who wants to help, and you're curious, and you just want to know more. I think you're born with it or you aren't, Mike. I think that, you know, anybody can have tips on how to be a good person and how to network and how to be successful. You just either you are or you aren't. And I think if you can kind of take a step back and reevaluate yourself and say, hey, I genuinely have this give first mentality where I might say I'm not asking for anything in return, which a lot of people say that. Even I say that a lot, and I don't mean it sometimes. But when you can genuinely mean like, hey, listen, I'm here to help, people help you, man. It's I'm this 26-year-old kid, Mike, who graduated from a school nobody's ever heard of, you know, got into a career that I've never done before. So the only thing I really can bank my everything on is my reputation, my relationships. It's all about relationships, man. Like I said, I try to make a new best friend every day. And that's not easy. You know, you got to get burned a lot. People don't realize, like, you know, if you're a connector of people, it sounds fun and it's you don't do anything all day. You just talk to people. Yeah. Try talking to people all day long, right, Mike? It's exhausting. But yeah, I hope that kind of answers your question. I think you either have it or you don't, man.
Yeah. No, I love the response. And, you know, I was not expecting the tip. I mean, that was amazing. Let's backtrack for a little bit, because I don't want to say it kind of connects it back all to Misericordia. We're going to talk about how it kind of helped you get to where you are today.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things, Delro, that is recognizable with you from me as a person is baseball. You know, if I could think of Misericordia baseball, it's always this loud and proud pitcher that is from the baseball team that's seen all those banners, seen all those pile-ups on the pitcher's mound after a game winner. Kind of talk to me about your baseball experience. I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but how was your baseball experience?
You know, Mike, I so appreciate you asking that question. I got chills just thinking back to my MU baseball days. You know, quite frankly, when I had graduated, if you had asked me, that was the best life experience I'd ever had. You know, I've since married the woman of my dreams and you know, just bought a new home here in New Jersey and things like that. But my MU baseball days are some of the best memories I'll ever have. And those friendships, my best man, Kyle Lindsay, who I graduated with, who was our All-American. I mean, that's a brother for life. And that list goes 40, 50, 60 people deep. You know, the thing about MU was we always had our chip on our shoulder, right? Like, for baseball, it was interesting. We dominated. I mean, they got, 9-10 straight MAC championships. We were always the team to beat. But still, like, on a grand scale, you try mentioning Misericordia baseball to anybody outside of NEPA, they're like, well, what are you talking about? God bless you. Who, you know? So, listen, I'll tell you this. It was all about the people. We got lucky. You know, not everybody. I got a lot of friends who played college sports at great schools with great programs, and they just didn't get along or mesh with the people who were on the team at the time. And it strips you. I had every single person on that team, and every coach was just an A-plus person. And if you weren't, you didn't make it to the spring. You were sussed out and you were transferring, because this was good people playing good baseball.
So you mean not even based on skill, you just mean the person
just
itself.
People, we played really high level baseball because we were a family. Like, that sounds ridiculous. You'll see it in every movie and in the title of every book, but you know, it was the communication. It was the trust. Every single person on that team would take a bullet for everybody else. And we've had those conversations and meetings where, you know, 40, 20 year old dudes are crying like a little baby because we love each other and we're going to go out on that field and leave it all out there. And so, you know, Coach Egbert, Coach Gargone, everybody else who we had come through the program while I was there, they're the best coaches I've ever had. And it's because they put us as people first and as baseball players second, but we're going to be doing both at the same time. It's like, listen, we got to get this done. And you're only going to have 4 years if you're lucky to get this done. So let's go have a good time. And man, I'll tell you, if I had to go back and do it all over again, I'd end up in one place, and that's at Tampa Field.
Not at the talent show?
Well, I think I did 3 out of 4 talent shows, Mike. You might be the only person who did more than I did.
No, I think we're tied, man. It was okay. We did 3 apiece, so
I'm
glad to be up there with you as far as that. Now, Delaware, your undergrad itself, you said that you didn't, like, obviously where you are now wasn't where you started. I had Dylan Scantz on the podcast a couple episodes ago.
Nice.
And, you know, for him working at 87 Media, I kind of outright told him, I said, I never expected you to be in this type of position that you're in. I said, all respect to you, but it's amazing. But on top of that, What made you dive into the world of advertising, PR, marketing, that whole conglomerate that, you know, is to many somewhat intimidating to others?
Yeah, really good question. Skance, Dylan Skance, is a really good friend. We network and work together, actually, both of our businesses. We know a lot of the same people, and he's really special. I bet he's going to go down in the list of MU alumni history when he's all said and done.
Absolutely.
You know, the thing with advertising and PR, I stumbled into it, Mike. You know, I told you, COVID hit. I had no sweets to sell. I went and talked to anybody and everybody with a cool job, title, position, platform across the country. I never had time to learn business. Even though I was selling businesses, you got a revenue goal you got to hit. You only want to know what you need to know. So the thing with advertising and PR, I actually, through this crazy networking journey I had went on, I had close friends who were looking out for me. They knew I was on the move and looking for what's next. And I had a great friend by the name of Kristen Stone who, unfortunately, her father passed away. He was the president of the company, and he was the sales guy. He was the relationships guy. And, Kristen had a good enough relationship with me to recognize that I can fill some of those types of strengths and relationships. And they gave me a shot. I had never known about advertising and PR before. I certainly didn't know the price tag associated with the services. But the reason I went for it and the reason I'm here, and I think I'll be here for a while, is because specifically with my agency, we're a full service advertising and PR agency, which Mike, as you might know, I'm learning all this since October. I'm brand new, but the world of the agency world there anymore, everybody has their niche. It's like you do programmatic, you do digital, you do PR, you do the creative. We're the one-stop shop. So I love that because anybody can be my client. I can help anyone in any industry, in any vertical, doing anything. So that was really attractive to me. Everybody needs advertising and PR. Everybody needs somebody in their corner to help. If you're going to run a serious business, you're going to find a really few who did it without spending a lot on marketing their company. So for me, somebody who has the entrepreneurial spirit, but I also wanted to have corporate resources. I don't execute well. I don't know. I only know what I know. I can't put together an advertising campaign right now, but everybody at my agency can, and they've been doing it for a long time and they're excellent. So I wanted to be an entrepreneur with corporate resources. So I thought the best way to do that is find something, an industry that's all encompassing, you know, and I think advertising and public relations is the best place to be for that. So I'm here, I'm learning. It's not easy, but I'm having fun.
I could agree with you on many of those statements that you made as far as the diversity, let's put it that
yes.
way, the diversity of your job. It's not 9 to 5 every day. You walk in there and you're like, I'm going to do this. You have no idea what the heck's going to happen until the next day.
No, you're totally right, Mike. And I think on that point, you know, I tell people, and I'm sure this has happened to you, I've naturally become a mentor to a lot of people who are, you know, MU grads or people entering the workforce or people who got screwed by COVID, whatever it may be, you know. I try and I don't know how to put this. I try and tell people, like, it's so much simpler than you guys want this to be. Like, to be perfectly honest, I'm kind of losing my train of thought, which also is pretty on brand for Delro. So I think, you know, maybe a lot of times we should cut this out and go into the next question, but I don't know, this is kind of standard me. So why don't, instead of me fumbling over my thoughts, why don't you just go ahead and hit me with the next question?
I'm kind of like, do I like cut this out? Do I like...
Edit in post.
Well, speaking of editing in post, Delro, let's talk about, you know, connecting the dots with Delro.
Yes.
What made you come up with it? I mean, I of course watched your podcast and listened to your podcasts. I've heard your story. It's amazing, but for our alumni, what is it? How'd you get to it? And what are you doing with it currently?
Thank you for sending me a savior there. appreciate it. Connecting the Dots with Delro is my podcast that I started a couple months ago. it's really showcasing the power of networking, the power of connecting. Like, again, what did I do here? I left it so open-ended. I just want to connect people. I want to peel the layers back off of certain stereotypes and certain business profiles and everything. Like, I just want to get impressive business people on a conversation and just have it be normal. I just want to talk about their everyday lives. How does connecting people and how does networking benefit not only their profession, but their personal life? Like, I just want to have the conversation about how we can really all connect. And it's so much simpler. Again, I'm repetitive, but it's so much simpler than everybody thinks. You know, you just got to get out there and start asking questions and helping people, and you'll have everything you ever need, man.
So kind of talk me through like the show itself. Like, what questions do you ask? Who do you bring on the show? Let's ask that.
That's a great question. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go after different industries. My first guest was a absolutely incredible individual by the name of Luciani Serafovic. She is the founder and CEO of an international luxury real estate company. I knew nothing about international luxury real estate. I thought it was time to learn, and I found somebody who was willing enough to share their story. And that's what I did. So I want to peel the layer back. I want anybody who just graduated from college or who's looking for a new job or just looking to learn more about anything can come to my podcast and hear a little bit more about the ins and outs of that industry or somebody with this type of job. I just want to humanize business. I think the Band-Aid has been ripped off of like corporate America with this pandemic. I'm just trying to go along that route, I believe.
Now, as someone who hasn't had the experience with any podcasting beforehand, at first hand, what are some of the challenges you have been having hosting, running, producing, and editing your own podcast?
All right. Great question. This could be fun. Little things like leaving my phone on loud, which you're going to hear in this episode once or twice, not hitting record, and going half through the episode and not knowing, those little things. You know, the bigger things, I got really lucky. You know, I talked about being an entrepreneur with corporate resources. The entrepreneur side of me wanted to have a podcast, but I didn't know how to execute editing or making or posting, monetizing a podcast. I had no idea. So my agency and my editor, Tom Marguccio, who's been doing this for a long time, you know, he makes the show, man. Awesome. He completely does everything. I'm on camera talking to people, but I have a team, really, it's just Tom, who is putting this together for me and cutting and editing and just sending it back to me, all done. Now, I got lucky. That is not the case. For those people who are trying to start their own podcast, you know, the good news is it is way simpler than I thought it would be, too. There's great platforms out there like Anchor that just, I don't know if you use it.
Yep.
just fantastic. It spits it out onto every audio platform that you would want it on, Spotify, Apple, you know, whatever it may be. So Anchor was really helpful. And, you know, more than anything, man, like, I kind of have the, hey, let's just hit record and see what happens. And I was comfortable with that. A lot of people aren't, but that's really the key. If you can just hit record, you know, you're going to be so thrilled with whatever comes out of it because it's you and it's genuine and it's what you wanted to talk about. So just hit record.
So what are you hoping for with this podcast? I know whether it's short-term goals, long-term goals, like what are you hoping to get out of this?
Good question. You know, if my podcast could serve one person better, then I'm happy. Like, I just recorded my last episode with Jesse Cole. He's the owner of the Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas.
Absolutely incredible business and an even more impressive individual. I just wanted to pick his brain, and he has so much wealth and knowledge that I wanted to, you know, guess what? Here's what I'm thinking. People are going to pay him $3,000 to come do a speaking engagement. I got him on my podcast for free, and now everybody in my network gets to hear what his thoughts were. I just provided value to everybody who everybody who wants to hear it. But that's kind of the beauty of it too, Mike. I'd love for this thing to have millions of views on YouTube and to have sponsors and advertisers and be a whole mentor program to it. And there's a million things it could be. I have no idea where it can go, but there's also a really beautiful like mystery to it as well. Like I think this episode I just recorded with Jesse, I got no followers. I don't have any subscribers really just yet. Send me one. But right now that video may have 160 views on YouTube. That's awesome because those 160 people who watch that, it's their hidden secret. Nobody else is seeing it. That's education and knowledge that isn't being given out anywhere else on the internet. You scored, you found it. At least that's my opinion because I think everything I do is awesome, even though that's not always the case. But I don't know. I wanted to touch on that. I love that, you know, these might not totally blow up, but there's good information in there if the people are looking for it.
I think there's a really good book, Delro, if you haven't read it yet. It's called Tribes by Seth Godin.
Okay.
So Tribes, it talks about a culture and tribes that are put together. And the best explanation, which I think you will get out of, is you would rather have a dollar than 100 pennies.
Yeah.
So you'd rather have one person that can give you 100% the quality rather than 100 pennies, which is only 1% of the quality. So you have all those things, those 160 people that enjoyed your content are the ones who will get the most out of it. And I think you're in that good mindset where whatever group or network that you have put together is what's going to help you get easily. As I've been telling my best friend with this whole personal podcast, the more we do it, the more we do it for fun, the more we get out of it, the better it is going to be when those things start to exponentially increase. So I think you're in the right mindset at the moment.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, man. And I think you're totally right because just from episode one to episode two, like my first guest, Luciani, we had such an incredible conversation and interview, but my audio was trash because I tried doing AirPods to my ThinkPad. And it was just, I tried setting up a camera B. I was doing too much. And my audio was terrible and there's no fixing it. But you got to just work out the kinks. It's a repetition thing, just like anything else.
Absolutely. Now, Delro, we're kind of just molding everything together, whether that's, you know, your podcast, your business, but let's kind of bring it all together with this next question. How has Misericordia helped you get to where you are today?
Another great question, Mike. You know, I was thinking about that, and I think you can kind of break it down to a couple different things. First of all, being a college athlete, you know, anybody would say there are perks to that. You have such a strong sense of teamwork and community and family and communication and trust. And being a college athlete really helps with like working with a team. You know, high school sports, you know, everybody's out for themselves, right? It was a strong sense of community. And I really learned a lot about how to work with people from baseball. The sport management program that MU has, which is well renowned, and I think, you know, gets a lot of respect even from a small school. There was a lot of different classes that I took that I really enjoyed there. There was one in particular, and I hope I'm getting the name right. And you'll have to ask Dr. Gargone if I'm right here, but sport and society. And maybe it was called something else, but we actually put together a live event. We had to put together a 5K to raise money for cancer. And I got voted as the project manager for like the whole thing. And we did it right over at, what's the park, like 5 miles from Francis Slocum. Yeah, so we did a 5K. We had to go get sponsorships. We had to map out the track. We had to, you know, sell tickets, create a thing, a video, and all this content. And like, it was just hands-on, right? You hear everybody saying like, oh, well, you know, how much can you really learn? Or but if the people who are doing it the hands-on way, you had to put together a 5K. People were showing up at 8 a.m. It was 30 degrees. You better have something for them to do. And it better make sense. So that was like, I just remember that class. That was with Dr. Gargone. And it was just, it put you into the real world for a semester. You had a whole semester to plan this project. It was just like anything else, like having a real job. So that was incredible. I hope they're still doing that. I think the Misericordia in general, you got your chip on the shoulder, right? It's like every single time I'm on a phone call, which I go on like 8 or 9 Zoom calls, blind dates a day. I got to tell people I went to Misericordia 10 times a day. And every single time they're like, oh yeah, I've never heard of it. What did you just say? Oh, the hospital system? Like, you know, you've heard it a million times. Especially when you're, listen, you're competing in jobs. You're networking with people who have the Syracuses or Rutgers or, you know, Harvard or Princeton. And, you know, what do you got? You got Misericordia, but that means you had to work harder to get into the job interview. You had to, you know, prove that you went to some school in the middle of nowhere, PA, and you were worth something. So it really put a chip on my shoulder, quite frankly. I think going to MU, I think there's such a sense of pride of being a Cougar. And I think it carried on into like my career and kind of like how I carried myself. It's a family there. Like, you know, people would joke and say it's like high school all over again. I know there are kids who, you know, were from PA, from some of these huge high schools, and it's smaller than their high school. And to them, that's like, to a lot of people, that's unattractive. They want to go off to college and do the whole big thing. And, you know, guess what? It was like high school all over again. You knew everybody, right? It doesn't matter. Maybe I was on the baseball team and a lot of colleges and universities, you'd just be stuck to just the baseball team. Like, I knew everybody and everybody knew me. And guess what? You knew each other's business too. So there were no secrets on that small campus. You know, so that teaches you a couple things. But, you know, really such a tight-knit community and really a strong alumni base too. There are Cougars out there who I'm sure you're interviewing who are just doing great big things. And, you know, I think all those reasons, I tell everybody if I had to go back and do it all over again, I'd be right at MU moving into McHale. So
you sure about that? Or you want to go?
I loved McHale. I met my future wife, Becky, who is an MU grad, in that lobby playing ping pong. I think I was shirtless playing like sting pong with other people. No, I love McHale.
Oh gosh. Well, we'll have to get some type of reunion pic with you and Becky in there eventually. But, you know, speaking of Becky and all that, you know, you said there, you've been keeping in touch with maybe some alum. What are some people that you've been in touch with? I always say this is a shout out opportunity for anybody who's listening. So go ahead. The floor is yours.
That's, I'm always down for a good shout out. You know, you already mentioned probably the one alumni who I'm in touch with the most. Well, of course I live with my wife, Becky. She's fantastic. She was in, their, medical imaging major there. So, she's a mammography technologist and she's just awesome.
Cool.
Dylan Scantz, you mentioned, me and him keep in touch very often. We do a lot of networking and strategic partnerships and just kind of throw ideas at the wall. He's really impressive. I keep in touch with a lot of the baseball guys. A lot of them come to me kind of as a mentor or somebody who can help connect them with a different job or an industry or whatever it might be. Garrett Pelko is one of those guys. He works for IBM.
Okay.
There's been a number of other individuals who come from the sport management program who I've tried to help get into sports and have done so successfully, like Chris Somerville. Connor Sheridan, there's a couple other guys, who, you know, recognize that we went on a very similar path and let's just connect. There's a million people. I suck at pulling names off the top of my head, but anybody who I have talked to who graduated from Misericordia, I'll tell you one thing. They gave me the time of the day. They were interested to see what I had to say and they were happy to share what they had going on. Again, I think it's such a strong sense of pride. I need to do a better job and get in touch with all the Cougar alumni.
Well, it's a great way that you just completely surfaced everyone. It's like anybody who I've been in touch with, it's always like to thank anybody who's been a part of my life to be a part of it. But really, in reality,
it's acceptance speech.
Delro, any final thoughts or things to wrap up for your podcast today?
Geez, Mike, I got to say, I'm just thankful for people like you who, genuinely want to make a difference and genuinely want to help and provide, you know, opportunities to have conversations about just about anything, man. You're an impressive dude, and I'm excited to follow you for the rest of your career. Outside of that, I think, hell, if I had to take a second to try and, you know, think of something to leave everybody with, it's, you know, just go be a good person. Go try and help somebody today. I tell everybody, go talk to a few strangers. You'd be surprised the conversations you'd have and the new friends you'd have by next week. I just encourage people to continue to try and help each other. The world's a messy place right now, but I think everybody sees the light at the end of the tunnel. And listen, this last year, I know you can't believe, Mike, it's been a year we've been in this lockdown. It's been the ultimate equalizer. I think good people can prevail, because anybody who wasn't doing business or operating the way they should have been were exposed with this pandemic. So I'm excited to see what's to come. And I can't wait to keep in touch with all my fellow MU grads and hopefully see them at J&J or wherever else we might land in Dallas next time.
Well, I am so looking forward to seeing you again at homecoming and anywhere else that we can. Delro, thank you so much for joining us today, and best of luck with all of your entrepreneurship, everything that is in your hat right now. Really excited to see what the heck happens with you.
Thanks so much, Mike. You're the man. Really appreciate it.